from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
Feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Good protection against the light rush. On the money to the 40-yard line, right near the sticks for DJ Moore. The officials have him just past it, and it's good enough for a first down. They convert third and long on Williams' first pass.
Nice patience in the pocket. Trust in his protection. And look at DJ Moore. This guy has been phenomenal. How about the season last year that he had? Over 1,364 yards, 8 touchdowns. Really, it's just been a godsend for the Bears and why they gave an extension.
Adam Amin and Jim Miller on the call on Fox 32 Chicago. Let's talk a little bit of football with a guy who just never seems to get any time off. He's probably already working on the next version of the beast. He is Dane Brugler, NFL draft analyst for The Athletic, who is on Twitter at DP Brugler, and joining us on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa Sports app today, twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. Dane, how you been?
Good. How's the summer going for you guys?
Pretty good. I mean, the city has just been popping. It hasn't been really that hot here. We've had some like 75 degree days in the city, beautiful day. I know you didn't want me to go that in depth on it, but
oh, I was going to talk about really, the fishing and everything, but as long as you were
no,
it's really been a spectacular summer.
My brother just moved to Chicago this summer, and so he's been telling me how great it's been so far. So hopefully that keeps up for him.
Yeah, come visit and come hang out in the studio. We'd love to have you.
I need to. Yeah, he just took a job with the Cubs, so I need to catch a game, go hang out with you guys. It sounds like a plan.
Yeah, we're the Cubs flagship, so you know, perfect. Everything is everything, and it's good. As you can imagine, Bears fans are very excited about Caleb Williams, and he did wonderfully in his first preseason game, in our opinion. From your learned eye, what did you see?
Whenever we talk about preseason, you know, I think it's important to keep perspective, but Caleb's debut just felt a little bit different, right? I mean, all the weight of being the number one pick overall, all the talk in the offseason, the Justin Fields discourse among the fans and what they should do at quarterback, it just felt like there was a lot of pressure. And Williams, he passed with his first test. Is this just the first test? But he passed it with flying colors. So many plays that you can take away. And I don't even know what the stats were. I know they were good. Those don't matter. It's watching each play, each snap, to see how he performs, how he executes, and just to see if the moment's too big for him. And I think he looked like he belonged right away. And that naked keeper to his right was just a thing of beauty. First, the ball handling, the footwork on that play action, the mobility to run full speed to his right, eyes downfield, the flats taken away. So, okay, there's Cole Kmet opening the corner route. Not having to stop, load up, set, it, just nothing. He has the velocity in his arm, the body balance where he can fire a seed full stride. It just really, a play like that illustrates what separated him as a prospect and why I think he's going to be a very good NFL quarterback. It's the mobility, the poise, the arm, and the way all three of those things are connected. It's really impressive to watch. And so that's why I think this season we're going to see a lot of boot concepts, designed movements as part of this offense, because you want Caleb to showcase that mobility, the playmaking instincts. That's what makes him special. And so you want to showcase that. So I think we can expect plenty of movement this year from Shane Waldron as he takes over this offense.
So how do you watch some of the early returns on these guys that you spent so many hours putting into the proper order? And you have to make all of those difficult decisions. And with everybody that you talk to, how much do you second guess and how much do you say, oh, well, I hope this guy's better than this guy and I'm right about this and right about that? Or do you have to completely just let that go once the beast comes out?
Yeah, I don't get too hung up on that because, you know, you trust the process, you trust your scouting. And then, you know, I think you have to come to grips that where a player is drafted very much determines how they are developed and what kind of player they turn into. And, you know, there are times where on draft night, if I'm, you know, going back and forth between, you know, do I like player A or player B better? And then I decide, okay, I'm going to rank player A higher, but then player B goes to a better situation on draft night. I'm like, okay, well, you know what? He's going to have a better NFL career because of the situation he's going to. All of that stuff matters. And especially at certain positions, you know, your supporting cast, whether that's the coaching, whether, you know, if you're a quarterback, well, what your offensive line look like, what your receivers look like. So I try not to get too caught up in specific rankings because I can explain why I have this or that. Now, how things play out, how players are developed, that's certainly something very different. But it is interesting when you watch these guys in preseason, the different trajectories these guys are on. Caleb Williams is ready from day one. He's going to hit the ground running. There'll be mistakes along the way, but he is the guy. Whereas with some of these other quarterbacks, say Drake May, for example, it will be more of a learning process. He wasn't as far along as Caleb was in his development, and he's going to a Patriots offense where you have a brand new coaching staff. You have probably one of the worst wide receiver groups in the league. Offensive line is in flux. So, you know, these situations are all very different, and that context is so important.
I'm glad that you brought that up because Dan and I were having a conversation about the rookies this past weekend, and one of the guys that I brought up I think is such an interesting case to evaluate, and that's the guy that Caleb Williams replaced at Oklahoma, Spencer Rattler, who I think kind of quietly, he developed a lot more than maybe people expected his senior year at South Carolina. I'd love to know what you think about him as far as like a nature versus nurture thing and whether he has an opportunity to win that job in New Orleans at some point.
He certainly has the ability. The way the ball comes off his hand, he's tough. And you know, watching him at South Carolina last year, one of the craziest stats that's in the beast was he played behind an offensive line that had 10 different combinations throughout 12 games. So their starting five was different in 10 of the 12 games. And it's just, it's hard to, especially in the SEC, it's hard to find any rhythm or timing when you're constantly running for your life. And that's what it was last year in that South Carolina offense. But it was a good way to prepare him for what he's going to see day in, day out in the NFL, where that pass rush is constant and it is unrelenting. So I think that he has the toughness, the mental toughness, and just the pure ability to do it. Now it's all about the development and can he do what's required? The biggest thing with quarterbacks is timing, especially these rookies. You know, NFL speed is very different than college speed. I don't care if you play in the SEC or not. And this goes for any rookie quarterback, Caleb, Spencer Rattler, all these guys. How quickly can you get up to speed to make sure you're playing on schedule? The other part of it is just having the mental toughness to battle through those inevitable mistakes. They're going to happen while you're learning. And, you know, like Peyton Manning, go back to his rookie year. He had 28 interceptions, but those mistakes didn't bury him because he had the mental toughness. You look at a guy like Jalen Hurts, another Oklahoma quarterback. He had a ton of mistakes his first few years in the league. The Eagles were gearing up to draft another quarterback until Jalen had that third year in the league where everything started to click. But it was his mental toughness. That's what separated him, because it allowed him to stay focused and ready to learn, even though, you know, he had to persevere with some low times. And so that's the biggest thing. And not to, you know, put another quarterback down, but a guy like Zach Wilson, the lack of confidence that he shows on the field, that I think that's the biggest reason why he has struggled to live up to where he was drafted. So a guy like Spencer Rattler, a guy like Caleb, if you try to gauge their mental toughness to overcome those negative plays, that to me is the biggest barometer of, okay, can he find success at the next level?
Another name is popping in Bears camp right now is defensive end Austin Booker. He was drafted in the fifth round, 144th overall. I guarantee that our guest Dane Brugler isn't surprised at Austin Booker's performance, because the grade on him, third round, 78th overall. So the fact that the Bears are like, hey, wait a second, this guy's got a real interesting combination of athletic body traits and instincts, and he's really kind of maybe showing the top ranges of the forecast at this point.
And he's still just 21 years old. I think that was the intrigue with Booker, is how young he was. He was a redshirt sophomore, had one career start to his name coming out of college. And so that lack of experience is, okay, you feel like it's an investment. You know, he's not going to hit the ground running. Whatever he gives you as a rookie is great. But the early returns have been very promising. And that's great to see. You know, his combine was a little weird. He showed up. He lost a lot of weight so he could run well at the combine, was down to 240 pounds, and he didn't run well. He ran a 4.79. And so it's like, okay, that's a little curious. He adds the weight back on, good weight. He was up to 253, so 13 pounds heavier at the pro day, and he actually runs faster. And so this is a guy that maybe didn't have some of the check the boxes that you want to see in the pre-draft process, but he has a lot of ability. He was just unrelenting as a pass rusher. And I think what you love most about him was how natural it was to create knockback with his hands. And it's not just strength and power, but it's an understanding of leverage points and how to get underneath blockers, create that knockback, and open up those rush opportunities for you. And so it seemed to come very natural for him. I don't know that he's ever going to be a double-digit sack player in the NFL, but he's going to be an NFL starter at some point. And so for the Bears to get him in the fifth round, you love that value, and it's been really fun to see him catch on pretty quickly.
Dane, we're going to talk with Rome Odunze in about an hour, and I'm fascinated by him because we usually talk about this in terms of quarterbacks, where top 10 quarterbacks are ordinarily not going into good situations because the team is picking in the top 10. And for Caleb Williams, that wasn't the case, and that's pretty cool. With Rome, I think it's even more interesting, because a top 10 wide receiver you would think would end up being a team's focal point in the first couple years that they're on a roster. Rome falls into a situation where he's got Keenan Allen and he's got DJ Moore, and he kind of has to earn it if he's going to get playing time and opportunities to show what he can do.
And he was such a perfect fit. Like, I give Ryan Poles a lot of credit, because since at the combine, I remember talking to a lot of Bears people and thinking like, okay, what do you need to do to trade up to 6 or 7 to make sure you get one of these receivers, probably Rome Odunze? Like, what do you need to do? And I was like, you can't wait and see if he falls to you at 9. Well, hey, Ryan Poles, he did, and he landed right in his lap. And I think part of that was, I think they were comfortable with their options at 9. I know they did make some calls to trade up, but they didn't want to give up too much, considering they didn't have a ton of draft capital. You didn't want to trade future picks, but it worked out so well. And he's going to an opportunity, like, you know, kind of like you set up, that he's not going to be expected to be the number one from day one, but he is. He has that professional skill set already, that professional demeanor, where he will be whatever the Bears need him to be. They want to work him out of the slot. He can do that. You want him to be the X on some of these plays? He can do that. He can win one-on-one on the outside. He has a savviness to him when it comes to route running. He's not the most sudden athlete, but he's very controlled. The body control is outstanding with him. The way he plays through contact is big time. So it's those pass-catching instincts and that competitive focus that really stands out. And I think we've seen it just, you know, the little I've seen of him in camp, it seems like he's getting more and more comfortable. And just with that connection, that chemistry that he's building with Caleb, it's going to be a lot of fun to watch throughout this season.
You had Torrey Taylor listed as by a mile the number one punter. And no surprise that he is being viewed that way by the Bears. Drafted in the fourth round, pick 122, and I believe that per your projections, as I call them up, you had him as a fourth round projection. How good does he have to be to justify that?
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously the special teams positions, kicking, punter, you know, you don't really think of those as high leverage or, you know, the priorities on the roster. But, you know, it's the value of having one that's really, really good is it's something that maybe is taken for granted, but not within an NFL building. And I think the Bears saw the value of what they were missing at the position and what Torrey Taylor can be. He has the power, the boom in his leg that he can, you know, no worries about that. But he also has a really good feel for where to place the ball. And that's something that, especially at a school like Iowa, where they were punting quite often, he had plenty of chances to show off that leg. So it's a combination of accuracy, power with him. I don't think I had another punter with a grade below seventh round. He was clearly the top guy. And it's one of those things where if you don't get your top guy, all of a sudden you're waiting, you know, seventh round, and you're not really thrilled with your secondary options. So I don't blame the Bears for taking him where they did, but that does put a little bit of pressure on him to live up to being a fourth round punter, as opposed to some of these other players that they could have had in the fourth round, offensive line depth, secondary depth, whatever it may be. So for Taylor, he needs to come in, do his job, and not make many mistakes, which can be a hard ask for rookies, but that's what the expectations will be for him.
How will the new kickoff rule affect how you go about scouting some of these players? And I know this is probably closer to UDFA territory and sixth and seventh rounders, but I'm wondering, will it have any impact at all?
Sure. And I think it's a learning process for all of us, you know, just for coaches, for scouts, for fans. How does this affect the way the game is played? How does strategy play into this? And it will no doubt spill over into the scouting world. And when you look at running backs, do they have, because when you're looking for that fifth receiver, that third running back, do they have special teams experience? You know, do they understand how to play on that side of the ball? That's something that will play into it. The more you can do, the better chance you have of claiming a roster spot. And these new kickoff rules are going to make things really interesting.
Similar question in that regard. We were noting yesterday when we were talking with Adam Amin, the number of teams, including the Bears, that on their starting defense no longer list a strong side linebacker, that nickel corner is the starter. It's not even really nickel defense anymore. That's standard defense, where the anomaly is now that Sam backer. Does that change scouting? If somebody has Sam backer traits, that's not really a full-time job as much as it used to be.
No, I mean, a player who would have been drafted in the second round in 1994, he's now drafted in the sixth, seventh round in 2024 because of the way the game has evolved. And that's why, you know, in scouting, the NFL is constantly evolving. And so you have to evolve with it, with what teams are looking for, the strengths of each certain position. And right now, I'm actually looking at the linebackers for at the college level and kind of ranking those guys and putting down preliminary grades. And it's just, it's amazing. It's a moving target, you know, because every team is looking a little bit differently for what they want. They want guys that can cover. They want guys that can play the run, set an edge, dynamic blitzers. And so the look of today's NFL linebacker is extremely different. And that's something that, you know, you want to be able to mix and match these guys. But this also puts a lot of pressure on safeties. You know, if you're a safety, can you play in the nickel? You know, can if we switch from nickel to dime, you know, how are we using our formation so our defensive backs, we can mix and match those guys? You know, it's something that is, again, a constant evolution. And for GMs, for scouts, you have to evolve with it to understand, okay, this is what he does in college, but for our defense and what we want to do, he could be a true three-down player, and those that being a true three-down player has more value than ever before because of what teams and defenses are asking of those guys.
Dane, as always, man, we appreciate you. Thank you so much for being on the show and providing us with incredible content.
Anytime. Looking forward to it, guys.
That is Dane Brugler. Next up, Steve Stone. The White Sox, actually, they got one. Last night.
Have you seen how it's been characterized, too, like nationally? ESPN's bottom line said, the lowly White Sox hammer the Yankees 12-2.
Well, that's appropriate.
They don't usually use descriptors like that on the bottom line.
No lies told.
No, but significant.
Stoney next on the Score.
Steve Stone.
When I started out, and Harry was my partner, he said to me, you will find your identity. It turned out that I felt that my identity was going to be to teach as many people as I could the game of baseball.
White Sox TV analyst.
Being an analytics guy, I would have known that a sub-6-foot-tall right-handed starting pitcher in the major leagues, the odds were infinitesimal. But if there was a contest that had...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I
feel like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
A winner, I could never understand why it shouldn't be me.
Social media guy.
I've been blocking more than Tom Brady's line.
Steve Stone with Bernstein and Holmes on the Score.
Let's talk some baseball with Steve Stone. It actually isn't a threat after last night's performance. He joins us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com, on Twitter at Steve Stone, the White Sox TV analyst, is here on The Score. Hi, Steve.
Hello, Dan. How are you?
Okay, I guess. Yeah, good enough.
Okay.
Not complaining.
You're not complaining right now, but you often do complain.
I will be complaining when they're saying that the heat indexes in New Orleans are like the real feels like 112, and they're saying to check on the elderly. So I sent a note to both kids saying to make sure they check on my wife and me.
Did you not know that that's where Tulane was?
I know it is. It's just, even for down there, it's hot.
It's August in New Orleans.
But even they're saying it's hot. So check on me. I'll try to stay hydrated
every day, Stoney. First of all, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it. We've been asking all of our baseball people this question today because we've been having an ongoing conversation about it and would love to get your perspective on it, Stoney. The 162 game grind, do we not appreciate enough teams winning a division because we've become so accustomed to ring culture and the idea of winning the tournament at the end, when really the real testament to who the best team is through 162 games?
Well, that's always been the case, and that's one of the reasons why they keep the 162, which was up from 154. And, you know, it's more home dates. It's 81 home dates, which means for the teams that are drawing real well, you get added revenue, which is how you eventually are able to accrue some good players, whether it's bonuses as free agents or the draft situation where you're paying, depending on where you're picking them, you're paying a slot price for these guys. But it's enabling baseball to increase the revenues. Consequently, as you noticed, lately the players' salaries are going up, which is just fine. These are the most gifted baseball athletes in the world. They deserve whatever they can get. And for the most part, teams, if they didn't have the money, they couldn't pay them. So I would assume that they have the money because the salaries have moved up exponentially. But it's difficult over 162. It is a grind, and you have to get used to it. And it's almost like Usain Bolt as a sprinter. He was breaking all the world records. But if he didn't sprint between meets, he would probably be in trouble. So to be able to sprint, you have to sprint. To be able to understand how to play 162, somewhere along the line, you have to either come close to it or actually play the 162. And so, yeah, it's a very tough season with a lot of travel, playing your way through injuries and everything else. But, you know, there's a few players that do. And when you can do that as a player, you become more valuable.
What advice would you give Grady Sizemore if he asked? Or maybe you have.
Well, first of all, you know, you don't have to be well-liked to be a good manager. I was able to play for a whole lot of guys that I didn't particularly care for, but it didn't diminish their managerial skills. So being well-liked is something that's good, but it's not necessary for a manager. Being respected is necessary for a manager. And I think because he was there all year and the players got to know Grady as a coach, they got a real good feel for him. He's a very straightforward, here it is kind of guy. No pretense, doesn't put on any airs. He just lets you know from the beginning that he really loves the game of baseball, and he's going to try to get the most out of it he possibly can. Now, one of the things that I think you guys have to realize, if you dissect the Chris Getz statement, you'll realize that he gave himself and the organization some wiggle room when choosing the next manager. Like he said, our focus will be on people outside the organization, ostensibly because you don't know them as well as you know the people in your organization. But I think Grady's going about it the right way because, as he says, you know, he might never manage again. So he's going to manage every game like it's a World Series. One of the most important parts of this equation is these players are familiar with Grady. They already like him, and they certainly respect him for what he accomplished as a player. However, that won't get it either because there's been some great players who couldn't manage and couldn't coach. So it depends on your knowledge of how to treat these individuals. And this is Grady's first time of being in an executive role where he has guys that view him as the boss. And so we'll see how it goes down as we move along. But so far, in a very short period of time, it's three games. But the team has taken on a different feel. The team looks to me like they understood that there was another gear that they thought they were at, but now they probably realize that there is another gear that players can go to, and that's one of the reasons why we usually see a bounce when a new manager comes in. I tend to think this is not just going to be a bounce. And I think Grady, when he learns the X's and O's of how to manage and all the intricacies of what a major league manager has to do, I think somewhere down the road and possibly in the not-too-distant future, Grady's going to have an opportunity to get his own team and to take it from spring training on. And I do believe in my heart of hearts that he will be given serious consideration depending on his impact on this team. We've seen it for three games. I believe we're going to see it going forward. And for me, he would be far from eliminated in consideration for a full-time job when they hire somebody after this season.
I was at the ballpark on Friday, and I was talking to a bunch of people. I didn't get to see Stoney because I ended up in some...
Well, you got to call ahead.
I know.
Okay.
I know.
Make sure you're slotted in with a reservation and everything.
I ended up... I mean, look, yeah. You know when guys are getting ready to go on the air, and I'm like, I don't want to just duck my head in just to say, hey, I actually really like Stoney, so I wouldn't mind talking to him. But one of the things that happened is I was talking to some people about Chris Getz, and... as I was saying, look, you know, things are really bad. And folks were saying, you're right, things are bad. But take a look at some of these hires. Like, that was the thing that was mentioned to me multiple times. Look at some of the hires that Chris Getz has made. If you're looking for, if you need change, if you need to see the White Sox going in a different direction, look at some of these hires. So I started to think about it, and we had Brian Bannister on the show. He was extremely impressive. Barfield, you now bring up Grady Sizemore. How do you feel about some of the pieces that Getz is trying to put together? And does it feel like there's anything different about their direction compared to what's happened over the last couple of years?
Well, quite obviously, I mean, it doesn't take a genius or a Rhodes Scholar to figure out that what has happened over the last few years just didn't work. And when things don't work, you have to go in a different direction. And because of that, Josh Barfield is here and Jin Wong is here and Gene Watson is here, along with Brian Bannister. And these are people that added to that cachet of the front office. They bring a lot of baseball smarts. They bring a lot of experience to the positions. Paul Janisch was brought in as the director of player development. And he was a former major leaguer, so he's got a pretty good idea about what it takes. And, yeah, I think that the organization right now is in better shape than it's been because of the additions to a lot of the executive roles and a lot of the people who are making determinations on which direction this organization is going to go in. So between that and a few other things that Chris has done, number one, it's way too early to evaluate what he has done for the simple reason that it probably took, by my estimation, it took in the neighborhood of 10 years to get to the point the Sox have been at the last couple of years. When something takes that long, you're going to have to make changes, and the changes are not going to come overnight. And I understand the lack of patience for White Sox fans because they were told about a rebuild. That rebuild didn't work exactly as planned. And now they look at the idea of another rebuild. And this isn't a complete teardown. Because the one difference is the organization that just a few short years ago was rated 30th in baseball moved to 26th, then to 20th. And right now, if you look at a lot of the rating services, the Sox are in the top 10. A lot of people list them at 8. And granted, I understand how they got better as quickly as they have from a minor league standpoint. And that was because they traded away major league assets to get other people's development programs into play and bring talent from other organizations to ours. The ideal situation will be to build up the White Sox organization, get it to the point where they're very productive. And so when I look at what Chris has done, a lot of it won't show up today, but you look at some of the names that I mentioned and realize that there's a lot more talent. Also, you know, Grady Sizemore coming in. From the first I talked to Grady and then talked to other people about Grady, they told me that he's going to be a major league manager one day because he's got a great sense, maybe an innate sense, of how this game is supposed to be played. I mean, you're looking at a guy that did play 162 a couple of times. You got to be a tough guy to play 162. You got to be a tough guy to make 32 starts a year, which is basically what these guys do these days. And you have to want it more than you want anything else to be able to go out there day after day after day. The interesting part is I look at Cal Ripken and his streak and realize he must have never been injured. He must have never had a cold. He must have never felt bad because he played every day. Well, he played every day because that's what he wanted to do. And that's one of the things that this new administration is going to have to instill on its players is have fun, certainly, but I need everything you have on a daily basis. You can't be taking any days off and still playing this game because this game will bite you. And so that's something that I think that Grady can instill in these guys, again, because one, they sure like him. Two, I know they respect him. And also, they're taking a look at his history and saying, you know, this guy did it the right way. Maybe I can look for a hole in my game and improve on it.
Stoney, last thing for you. You have mentioned multiple times now about the decision that you're going to make at the end of the season, that you're going to hold off on any grand pronouncements until you have time to decompress and evaluate. What are the criteria for your evaluation?
Well, there's a couple of things that have really nothing to do with the White Sox. One is overall general health, which has been wonderful. So I anticipate going forward that will stay pretty much the same. So you look at that, then you look at at how many games you're doing. And right now I do 143, including spring training, and get 25 games off. And so that's one of the things that I would like to address because, you know, that old saying, nobody on their deathbed said, geez, I wish I'd have worked more. So there's those two things. And there's also the fact that, and I anticipate this will stay the same, I've loved this game for a long time. I've played it since I was 5 years old. I played it at the highest levels against the best in the world and enjoyed every aspect of that, understanding that there would be injuries that come around. There would be a lot of stress that involved in that. There would be some terrible years and some good years. But as long as I still love this game, as long as I still feel the way I feel, including health and everything else, I can't see giving it up at this point. That being said, we don't know what the future holds. And I'm not good enough to look a month and a half or so down the road and understand how everything is going to be working at that point. So that's pretty much it. It's a very long non-answer to your question, but those are the things that I would look to. And then we'll go in. They have, I'm talking about the front office has intimated that they would like to have me back, and that's certainly a big part of the equation. Because if they don't want you back, then there's no consideration on your part. So, you know, I'm in the enviable position to be able to do that.
Good. Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it.
Okay, guys. Have a good rest of the show, and I'll talk to you down the road.
That's Steve Stone. If you're a White Sox fan, you should come on out to Four Winds Casino in New Buffalo Thursday, August 22nd from 4 to 5:30. It's a pool party with Ozzie Guillen and 670 The Score.
Holy crap.
Ozzie will be doing a meet and greet with fans.
That sounds amazing.
At a casino pool. I think you're going to want to be a part of that. And you're not going to want to go anywhere. A couple more guests coming your way. A couple of Bears back-to-back. Micah Baskerville gets Ken Mastrolli Award number 2. And then we talk to Roma Dunze on The Score.
The Bernstein and Holmes Show presents the Ken Mastrolli Award, a recognition of excellence by a Chicago Bears player who absolutely killed it in a preseason game.
Are you the best ever?
Yeah, you see that.
The Ken Mastrolli Award winner for the Bears preseason matchup against the Bills is Micah Baskerville.
Just Bouchel is picked off by Baskerville. He's looking for 6. Will he get there? He will! Micah to the house.
That was easy pickings as he just read the eyes of Shane Bouchel the whole time. I mean, wow.
Wow. Doing Shane Bouchel dirty. And if you're a Cub fan and you're asking, is that the son of former Cubs third baseman Steve Bouchel? Yes, it is. But Micah Baskerville was having none of it. The Bears linebacker and Ken Mastrolli Award winner now joins us on the Score Hotline presented by Circa Resort and Casino, CircaLasVegas.com. He's on Twitter at MikeyYTB. Micah, nice game, man. Good play.
How you doing? Appreciate it.
Thank you very much for joining us. Walk us through the play. What did you see?
Man, I'm pretty much, you know, was reading his eyes. He went through his first progression into his second. And then once I seen that, you know, I just went ahead and went after the guy I was on and jumped it.
You have a couple games under your belt last year with the Bears on the regular roster, spent most of the season on the practice squad. Are you a better player now? What and on what are have you been working after all your development last year?
I definitely think I'm a better player this year. Just, you know, learning under, you know, the Tremaine, TJ, even Jack Sanborn, too, who's been here. Just learning from those guys, the vets, and, you know, trying to stay consistent with what I do every day. Those guys that help, you know, we all stay on each other. So, yeah.
What do you think is your path to making this team?
I think my path is first turning up on special teams, you know, making big plays, you know, trying to get take out the ball, turnovers on there. And then whenever, you know, they need me on defense, you know, I'm going to be ready.
How have the new kickoff rules affected the roles on special teams and maybe even your role specifically?
I don't really think it affected too much. I feel like it gives more opportunity for guys. I feel like, you know, it's more of like guys bringing it out now instead of, you know, fair catches or you know, kicking out of the end zone. So there's a lot more action, a lot more evaluation that people can, you know, check us out and see that we can play. So that's what I like about it. I like we actually get to – it's really action on there now. So,
well, what I think is interesting, especially for someone like you, Micah, is this – the new kickoff feels like it's set up like a run play. And where else would you want a linebacker than on a run play? Is that how you see it too?
Almost definitely. I think the linebackers for sure like this new kickoff, like you said, like a run play, you're shedding – playing, it's like you playing in one gap and stuff like that. So I like it a lot. It's right up my alleyway. So, yeah.
How long did it take you to get comfortable, and what role did Richard Hightower play in getting you guys ready to try some of this stuff?
I mean, we've been doing this since OTAs, man. We've been repping it out. We've been getting various looks at it, you know, trying to see what best works for us. So, you know, we've been ahead of the game. And, you know, that shout out to HT, you know, getting on it early.
What's Hard Knocks been like? I know adjusting to the understanding that so many of your conversations with teammates are going to have that big boom mic over it. Do you just stop worrying about it after a while? Do you stop seeing it even?
At first you worry about it a little bit, but then, you know, As the days went on, you know, it kind of just gets normal. Like, you know, it's there, you know, just be ourselves, you know, do what we, you know, come here to do every day. And, yeah, everything else going to be fine.
All right, so, Micah, if we made you the producer of Hard Knocks, who's someone that you think they should be focusing the camera on but maybe they haven't?
Oh, that's a good question. And there's one guy I had to say will be probably Elijah. He's a funny guy, man. He's a funny guy.
Funny how? Like, Elijah, what's he like?
He just brings a lot of energy, man. A lot of energy, you know, goofing around a little bit, but it's a good goof, you know, when it's time to goof, you know, he's doing it, and then other times he's locked in. But, you know, when he makes plays, man, he turns up, man. And I love it because he gives me a lot of energy. So, yeah.
Has Eberflus given you a nickname yet?
Not yet. It's coming, though. It's coming. I feel it. It's coming.
Yeah, we gotta get you a nickname, especially after you have a play like you had on Saturday. Well, what was the reaction by the coaches to see you read and react and take the ball to the house?
Oh man, they was excited and very happy for me, you know. And you know, it felt like practice, you know. They see me at practice doing it all the time, breaking on those routes and stuff. So it was really no surprise, you know. They were just happy to see me do it in a live game and stuff like that.
So, a weird question, but does that rise to the level of giving that ball to T-Med and having him paint it up for you?
Say that one more time, sorry.
I'm saying, do you get a game ball out of that? Does Tony Medlin get to, you know, put the paint job on there and write, but it, or does that not apply?
Man, they working on it, man. I gave them the ball, but I don't know what happened. But they said they're going to work with me and get me right with the ball, though.
Okay, good. Yeah, you should have that. Like, that's a big moment.
I know,
to score a touchdown in the NFL, even if it's preseason, for a defender especially, like, that's a big deal. So that should go on that trophy case from all that stuff at LSU.
Uh-huh. I told them, too, man. I'm like, man, I need that ball, man. So they're getting right for me and getting me all set up.
Well, Micah, congratulations on the game. I hope that it gives you an opportunity to keep showing what you can do. And thanks so much for joining us, man.
Appreciate you, Dan Lance, for having me.
Micah Baskerville, linebacker for the Chicago Bears.
That's right.
Good for him. And the suggestion, of course, I know Schmutzy says he should be the Hound.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Right?
Yeah.
He's hounding the ball, the Hound of the Baskervilles.
Sure.
Why not? Roma Dunze doesn't need a nickname.
He's got like eight of them.
I know, but he joined. Regardless, he's going to join us next on The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The Bernstein and Holmes Show presents the Ken Mastrolli Award, a recognition of excellence by a Chicago Bears player who absolutely killed it in a preseason game.
Are you the best ever?
Yeah, you see that.
The Ken Mastrolli Award winner for the Bears preseason matchup against the Bills is Micah Baskerville.
His Bouchel is picked off by Baskerville. He's looking for six. Will he get there? He will! Micah to the house.
That was easy pickings. He just read the eyes of Shane Bouchel the whole time. I mean, wow.
Wow. doing Shane Buechel dirty. And if you're a Cub fan and you're asking, is that the son of former Cubs third baseman Steve Buechel? Yes, it is. But Micah Baskerville was having none of it. The Bears linebacker and Ken Mastrolli Award winner now joins us on the Score Hotline presented by Circa Resort and Casino, CircaLasVegas.com. He's on Twitter at MikeyYTB. Micah, nice game, man. Good play.
How you doing? Appreciate it.
Thank you very much for joining us. Walk us through the play. What did you see?
Man, I'm pretty much, you know, was reading his eyes. He went through his first progression into his second. And then once I seen that, you know, I just went ahead and went after the guy I was on and jumped it.
You have a couple games under your belt last year with the Bears on the regular roster, spent most of the season on the practice squad. Are you a better player now? What and on what are have you been working after all your development last year?
I definitely think I'm a better player this year. Just, you know, learning under, you know, the Tremaine, TJ, even Jack Sanborn, too, who's been here. Just learning from those guys, the vets, and, you know, trying to stay consistent with what I do every day. Those guys that help, you know, we all stay on each other. So, yeah.
What do you think is your path to making this team?
I think my path is first turning up on special teams, you know, making big plays, you know, trying to get take out the ball, turnovers on there. And then whenever, you know, they need me on defense, you know, I'm going to be ready.
How have the new kickoff rules affected the roles on special teams and maybe even your role specifically?
I don't really think it affected too much. I feel like it gives more opportunity for guys. I feel like, you know, it's more of like guys bringing it out now instead of, you know, fair catches or you know, kicking out of end zone. So there's a lot more action, a lot more evaluation that people can, you know, check us out and see that we can play. So that's what I like about it. I like we actually get to – it's really action on there now. So,
well, what I think is interesting, especially for someone like you, Micah, is this: the new kickoff feels like it's set up like a run play. And where else would you want a linebacker than on a run play? Is that how you see it too?
Almost definitely. I think the linebackers for sure like this new kickoff, like you said, like a run play. You're sitting, playing. It's like you're playing in one gap and stuff like that. So I like it a lot. It's right up my alleyway. So, yeah.
How long did it take you to get comfortable, and what role did Richard Hightower play in getting you guys ready to try some of this stuff?
I mean, we've been doing this since OTAs, man. We've been repping it out. We've been getting various looks at it, you know, trying to see what best works for us. So, you know, we've been ahead of the game. And, you know, that shout out to AC, you know, getting on it early.
What's Hard Knocks been like? I know adjusting to the understanding that so many of your conversations with teammates are going to have that big boom mic over it. Do you just stop worrying about it after a while? Do you stop seeing it even?
At first you worry about it a little bit, but then, you know, as the days went on, you know, it kind of just gets normal. Like, you know, it's there, you know, just be ourselves, you know, do what we, you know, come here to do every day, and yeah, everything else going to be fine.
All right, so Micah, if we made you the producer of Hard Knocks, who's someone that you think they should be focusing the camera on, but maybe they haven't?
Oh, that's a good question. If there's one guy I had to say, will be probably... would be probably Elijah. He's a funny guy, man. He's a funny guy.
Funny how? Like, Elijah, what's he like?
He just brings a lot of energy, man. A lot of energy, you know, goofing around a little bit, but it's a good goof, you know. When it's time to goof, you know, he's doing it, and then other times he's locked in. But you know, when he makes plays, man, he turns up, man, and I love it because he gives me a lot of energy. So, yeah.
Has Eberflus given you a nickname yet?
Not yet. It's coming, though. It's coming. I feel it. It's coming.
Yeah, we got to get you a nickname, especially after you have a play like you had on Saturday. Well, what was the reaction by the coaches to see you read and react and take the ball to the house?
Oh, man, they was excited and very happy for me, you know. And, you know, it felt like practice, you know. They see me at practice doing it all the time, breaking on those routes and stuff. So it was really no surprise, you know. They were just happy to see me do it in a live game and stuff like that.
So, weird question, but does that rise to the level of giving that ball to T-Med and having him paint it up for you?
Say that one more time, sorry.
I'm saying, do you get a game ball out of that? Does Tony Medlin get to, you know, put the paint job on there and write, or does that not apply?
Man, they working on it, man. I gave them the ball, but I don't know what happened. But they say they're going to work with me and get me right with the ball, though.
Okay, good. Yeah, you should have that. Like, that's a big moment.
I know,
to score a touchdown in the NFL, even if it's preseason, for a defender especially, like, that's a big deal. So that should go on that trophy case from all that stuff at LSU.
Uh-huh. I told them, too, man. Like, man, I need that ball, man. So they're getting right for me and getting me all set up.
Well, Micah, congratulations on the game. I hope that it gives you an opportunity to keep showing what you can do. And thanks so much for joining us, man.
Appreciate you, Dan and Lance, for having me.
Micah Baskerville, linebacker for the Chicago Bears.
That's right.
Good for him. And the suggestion, of course, I know Schmutzy says he should be the Hound.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Right?
Yeah.
He's hounding the ball, the Hound of the Baskervilles.
Sure.
Why not? Roma Dunze doesn't need a nickname.
He's got like eight of them.
I know, but he joined. Regardless, he's going to join us next on The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.